Journey by Grant McFarlane.
"Perhaps we should just sit here for a while," he said, as the people busied themselves collecting their belongings and exiting, mourning about the everyday injustice of another train cancelled, as if the world was ending. That was how they met 3 years ago. That stranger's calming words in response to her hectic arrival on the train just before the driver's announcement. They went to the pub to wait for the next, and then deliberately missed each in turn until a mad dash for the last train. Their hysterics on the South East line ending with him getting out the stop before hers and agreeing to do the same the following Friday. Those weekly patterns becoming increasingly frequent until now, where the next stop on their journey is getting off together to head to that which will be their home, once they have broken two separate homes. In commuting through life, some departures are harder than others, however appealing their arrival may seem. His blue car already packed with the remaining detritus, such material items a product of the disintegration of his married life. He sits on his sofa, gazing around his lounge, watching some orange man talking nonsense on his TV. His items, chosen with pride, shared in more comfortable times, now just fixtures and fittings and that which he is giving away. "You'll probably want these as well," Julie says as she hands him a pile of old Panini sticker books. He flicks through them, smiling at memories of helping Josh collect them when he was about 10. 10 years previous, a decade of life in this house. "Thanks, I'll keep them safe for him," he says, looking at Julie, her face drained of the anger in the last 6 months, leaving only her stoic resignation to the pain he is willfully choosing to inflict. Her beauty, not hidden by such sadness, looks at him with eyes too tender to be spiteful. Saying nothing, she walks past him and opens the door without an announcement. He gazes longingly at the walls, floors, the material of a life that was once his, walking slowly to his exit. The journey starts with a departure, where he can't bring himself to say goodbye. She sits alone in the room, pensive, considering her goodbyes. Peter's previous infidelities had made the announcement an expected conclusion to him, his sanguine understanding halting the script she had racked over for months, her fraught attempts to explain ignored by his okays and I understands. There was no fight. There was no debate on her reasons. There was nothing, leaving her more guilt-ridden without an argument to win, leaving her with a red card sending off and the feeling that he went down too easy. The penalty of her leaving taken by Peter like a gift. She sits alone on the bed, awaiting his arrival. She hears him open the door and sits up, pulling her negligee down a little. She hears him say hello as his feet echo around the barren, unfurnished, empty downstairs. "I'm up here," she calls, from the only room with any furniture in it, a bed, a solitary bed. He comes in and smiles, that cheeky, rugged, handsome smile. "Wow, you look beautiful," he says, through brave eyes, rubbed red. Sitting on the bed without touching, they look at each other in silence. They have arrived with all their baggage abundant. Their relationship formed in clandestine train journeys that they must now exit and stand on the platform. Their destination, perhaps not what was imagined, after the journey more costly than they thought. They seem to be greater strangers than before, as he said. "Perhaps we should just sit here for a while."